I think just by being confident in yourself, I think that's really important, and knowing that you can actually change your behavior, because I think a lot of times people will get stuck in their ways and get stuck in old habits, but realizing that if you just do something little each day that will help you change to overcome something that frustrates you about yourself or that kind of inhibits you from doing something, you really can change that, and it's just all about mindset at the end of the day.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. Again, I am in Tartu, Estonia here at Startup Day, and it's so crazy because I got to meet an awesome YouTuber, Laura Reed. Laura has been like living this incredible life as a nomad, incorporating her technical skills to make a full-time living traveling the world while producing the most amazing content. Laura, tell us more. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. I'm really happy to be here, and it's so cool to be at this conference as well.
It's so random, right?
Yeah. It's one of my first ever, and it's really exciting. But I make travel content, fashion, lifestyle. It's kind of like an online magazine in a sense, and I put it all on YouTube. So
it's amazing.
I put it all together myself, and it's a lot of fun.
And go ahead and do a proper like intro so people could social stalk you and everything.
Yeah. So my name is Laura Reed. All my social is LauraReedd, and that's for YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. You can find all my content there.
And so to get started, why are you in Tartu, Estonia?
Yeah. So my boyfriend, who's a travel vlogger, he was contacted by the organizer about 8 months ago. We're from Canada, so we traveled about 30 hours to get here. And then obviously with me doing social media as well, they asked me if I wanted to run a workshop on that side of it. And so, yeah, that's kind of what brought me all the way to Estonia. And it's cool. It was a really cool, kind of unique opportunity. So
I mean, I'm happy you're here. And
yeah.
I was really surprised. And I was looking, you create gorgeous content.
Oh, thank you.
So, I mean, when did you first fall in love with the technology of creating of content creation?
Yeah, well, I've always been a really creative person, and I really like the tech side of it as well. So operating cameras, learning how to edit, and the behind the scenes interests me almost as much as in front of the camera. So it was actually when I was in university, I was getting a psychology degree, and I wanted to kind of test out just different platforms. YouTube's something I kind of stumbled upon, and obviously ended up working out quite well for me, but I just like how it incorporates different aspects. So the social side of connecting with other people, along with the tech side as well, I think that's cool how it can kind of encompass both.
And how do you handle, I mean, there's a lot of social media components and marketing that go along with content creation. Mm-hmm. You can't just create the content and then expect the world to find it.
Yes.
So can you share with us some of the thought processes you go through in getting your content out to the world?
Yeah.
And the tools that you use. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's the hardest thing and something a lot of YouTubers struggle with. And it's kind of something that makes or breaks you at the end of the day, getting your name out there and deciding how to do that. You can go different ways. Obviously promoting your stuff on Instagram and Twitter and letting people know when you post a new video or something like that. So you need to constantly promote yourself and just find different ways to do it. So sometimes on Instagram, I'll comment on other people's photos, really insightful comments or something very genuine. You never want to spam people. But just kind of getting your name out there that way is a really great way to manually do it. Or attending conferences like this. Then all of a sudden now people are looking up online and you can do your social networking in person as well. But there's tons of different ways to do it. You just kind of have to find out what works for you.
Let me ask you a question I think a lot of women in tech struggle with, especially when they build up their persona. A lot of them, sometimes they get asked to speak and they get paid, and then sometimes they get asked to speak and it's not paid.
Yeah.
What are your thought processes on when to take the paid speaking opportunities versus non-paid speaking? Because I know like having women on panels and giving keynotes is a hot topic right now. So which one should we take?
I don't know. See, with me, I haven't had to deal with that too much. But I think moving forward in the future, I'll definitely have to deal with that a lot more. And I think in a little bit of both, to be honest with you, like obviously it's important. You need to get people to compensate for your time. But it also is important if you are excited about a conference and it's something you really want to attend. So I think at the end of the day, it kind of comes down to personal values and it's what you want to kind of do with your own time. And it depends differently, I think, for each influencer or person as well speaking. But a little bit of both, I think, is a really good mix.
And what subscriber count do you have today?
Yeah, so I have about 100,000 on YouTube and then 35,000 on Instagram. And so I've kind of built that up. A little bit more travel content on Instagram because obviously I go traveling with a travel vlogger. So I get to post really cool shots on there. And then my YouTube is more focused on fashion, lifestyle, that type of thing.
And you do your YouTube full time?
I do, yes.
So when did you start doing it? I mean, I imagine you didn't start full time. When did you start committing yourself to YouTube? Yeah. And then how long did it take to go full time with YouTube?
Yeah, so I had started YouTube in my second year of university and it was a very passive thing. And I find with YouTube, it's hard to succeed when you're doing it passively. Like you do kind of need to put your all into it. And so it wasn't until I had actually graduated university, I was working at a digital marketing company. And so I was kind of immersed in the digital world from a more corporate side. And I kind of from there realized, okay, maybe I can actually promote my social full time as well. And that's kind of what led me to want to jump into it full time and try it out. And obviously then having different revenue streams helps keep it afloat as well.
And can you educate us, what are some of the revenue streams that other people can think about when they're building up both their startups and their content platforms, like to build it in a smarter way?
Yeah, so there's kind of two ways to make money in social media. The most important is being brand and content. So you can maybe collaborate with other brands and they might pay you to work with them. And that's kind of the big way a lot of social media influencers at least earn their money is through brand deals. So if you can find a brand that you really connect with, you can find a way to work really smartly together to kind of create that natural fit.
And do you have to reach out to the brands actively or do they come to you?
It kind of depends. So when you're first starting out, a lot of times you'll be reaching out to the brand because nobody really knows about you. And then as you grow your social channels, you'll find that brands will start coming to you. And it's really cool when you get to a point when you actually have to deny brands because you have too many coming
in.
And it's nice as well because
you're like celebration success.
Yes,
I've made it. Yeah.
But in that sense, it gives you more flexibility. So you can really choose to work with brands that you're passionate about and you don't have to rely on like that next brand deal that might not fit your channel. So you can kind of pick and choose a little bit more, which I think creates better content because it's not in a natural fit. It works really well and flows well together.
And in the beginning, like I know I had the advantage, I had a list of something like 500 top brands and their marketing executives, but not everybody has a list like that. How do you find the information? Like what do you do? Like someone just starting out that has amazing content and an amazing heart behind it, but they're like so clueless on like, where do I even get started to make this real?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times, like there's a lot of articles now online that explains how to become a social media influencer and how to make money online and just doing your research. It just comes down to a simple Google search that really opens you up to a world and teaches you things you wouldn't be able to learn in school or anything like that. And it's just from maybe a newspaper article you read online, and that really helps when you're first starting out to kind of figure out the space and figure out how you can seamlessly move within it.
Totally. I've always said execution is a sign of success, and it doesn't mean we'll do it the right way or like the wrong way. It just means taking a step forward is a step closer to your dream.
Yeah, and sometimes as well as you don't do things the right way and you look back and you're like, shoot, I shouldn't have done that. I really messed that up. But it's like you learn from that. And as you hear again and again, like you do really learn from your experience. And I think that is very true in social media as well.
100%. What would you say you've learned about yourself in achieving your dreams?
I've learned kind of maybe some things about myself, like with work ethic. Like sometimes I really like to watch TV and just chill out maybe a little too much. So I really have to push myself in a way that just keeps motivating me to keep working even when I'm tired and even when I don't feel like doing it. And you kind of realize your weaknesses and then you find ways to work around it. So I find that's really shown me, like with doing YouTube, things about myself that I need to work on. And then it actually does allow me to work on those things and make myself a better person overall in life in general. So it's cool in that sense.
And what's one thing, I mean, we kind of just touched on this like slightly, but what's one thing you do to overcome challenges?
I think just by being confident in yourself, I think that's really important. And knowing that you can actually change your behavior, because I think a lot of times people will get stuck in their ways and get stuck in old habits. but realizing that if you just do something little each day that will help you change to overcome something that frustrates you about yourself or that kind of inhibits you from doing something, you really can change that. And it's just all about mindset at the end of the day.
And one thing I forgot to mention actually when we got started is the Women in Tech podcast, the whole thing behind it is actionable empowerment.
Cool.
And it's the whole concept of she can do it, so can I.
Yes.
So just with that on top of mind, is there something like as we wrap it up that you'd want to share with our audience of like...
Yeah.
It's actionably empowering.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it's like with doing social media, like you always look up to other people. And at the end of the day, it just comes down to action and being like, okay, you know what? I can do this as well. It might not grow right away and it might not grow at the pace you want it to. And I think that's the biggest mistake people go into it, thinking that their channel is going to blow up right away. And I know that's the mistake I made, but just realizing that you're going to have to put a lot of hard work into it and there's going to be mistakes, there's going to be mess ups. But at the end of the day, if you keep pursuing it, a lot of the other people who are trying to pursue it as well will drop out, and eventually if you keep doing it for long enough you will succeed at it, whether it takes a year, whether it takes 10 years, the longer you do something and constantly improving and doing that, you're bound to succeed.
And who is your mentor?
Oh, I have a few. Like, there's a lot of really big YouTubers I look up to who I think has done a really good job in keeping their content fresh and maintaining their content. One big YouTuber, she lives out in LA. Her name's Alicia Marie, and she has 5 million subscribers on YouTube. And a lot of her peers, you've kind of seen, they've, with their success, they've kind of drifted off in YouTube. They put YouTube to the side once they get that success. Whereas her, she's constantly improving her videos. She creates really high quality content, and she never stops putting it out. So that's someone I really admire who has, even when achieved more success than most people would achieve in their entire lifetime on YouTube, she still puts out content and she's still really, I don't know, she's just like, you can tell her love for it. And I think that's really cool when other people around her maybe don't, but someone can still stick with it, and that's awesome.
Can you say her name one more time?
Her name's Alicia Marie.
Alicia Marie.
Yeah,
cool. So we'll include her in the show notes as well. Well, cool. Thank you so much for spending time with the Women in Tech podcast. Like, this has been awesome.
Yeah.
We're sitting here in the media room, so you hear everybody talking around us, like, at Startup Day here in Tartu, Estonia. It's the largest startup event that they've had, and I think one of the largest startup events in Estonia, so it's pretty exciting.
Yes.
And I will see you guys in the next episode. If you want to connect with more incredible women in tech like Laura, be sure to check out the Women in Tech Facebook group, which you can get to directly by going to womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. And feel free to tweet us at Women in Tech Show. Bye.
Thank you.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.